Dahl here.
Kurt, Sean Berg from 92.7 Rock. How you doing?
Hey, Sean. I'm good. How are you?
I'm not bad. I can't complain. Hey, it's Friday. The long weekend is almost here, and there's really nothing to complain about. Not a bad thing. Things are well with you?
Yeah, man. I mean, we're obviously super excited for the show this weekend, and it's going to be an amazing weekend.
Let's get into that in just a bit here. Let's start kind of at the beginning here. We're not going to go back that far. Yeah, we are. I lied. Back to 04. That's when you formed in Saskatoon. Was it 04?
Yeah, which is crazy to think of now because it just, you know, time just flies, you know?
That's what happens. That's life, though, isn't it? But when you look back at things sometimes, it's like, huh? How was it even possible? How was that 2004?
Yeah, well, you know, especially when you think about, you're right, like you think about all the things we've done in those years. Mm-hmm. You know, the ups and downs, and then, you know, the first 6 or 7, even 8 years of our career, no one really cared about us that much. So it's like it took that long to get that breakthrough, right? So
yeah,
I think that's what made us so grateful when it actually did happen, you know?
It had to be a good feeling, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Like an amazing feeling. We finally did this. You worked so hard for something, you know? And when you finally get that acknowledgement, that's a beautiful feeling for sure. It has to be. So here we are now. The new album is called Made in the Name of Rock and Roll. What can you tell me about that? The name and, of course, the album.
You know, I guess, I mean, the name and the album, we just wanted to make a real rock and roll record. And I feel like a lot of music these days is not made by four guys, you know, writing it themselves and playing their own instruments. And so I think that's kind of where it came from, you know, making real rock and roll that comes from us and it's really human, you know, which a lot of things these days are not human when it comes to music. They're electronic or they're written by someone else or someone else, some big machine is pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Not with OBS. I mean, we're just real rock and rollers, you know.
You're legit. That's what you are, man. Yeah. Legit. No, I agree with you. You see this far too often. You know, modern music, it's like, huh? You can see right through it. You know, it's so produced. You know this already. Like, there's nothing real about that. And what you're doing, I think, is 100% real. Again, it's legit. Yeah. You can hear that in the music. Feel it in the music. I love it, man. Yeah. That new album is amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
So, of course, fans were rather anxious for that new album. That first single, Raging Bull, did extremely well. It spent, what, like 4 weeks on top of the Canadian mainstream rock charts?
Yes, that is correct.
That's something to be proud of course, and also blew up on YouTube and Spotify. That must have felt good.
Yeah, no, well, and again, that was like, you know, that took us 13 years to get our first number one. And so it just, you know, like we talked about earlier, it just made us really appreciate it, right? Like, Some bands are lucky they get like a number one on their first single in the first year they've been together as a band or whatever. That wasn't us. We had to put in the time and travel the thousands and thousands of miles across the country in a van and do it the old fashioned way. And I'm not complaining for a second. I think it's what made us so grateful. And it kept us humble too. A lot of bands, you know, their egos blow up and then that does weird things to the people. And we haven't had that problem yet, you know, knock on wood.
That's good. Yeah, yet. You're Canadian. Come on. Canadian rock stars don't act that way anyway, do they? Maybe sometimes.
Well, I don't want to answer that.
Sometimes. So you've toured a lot, obviously, opened up for some pretty awesome bands like Judas Priest, Def Leppard, and a whole lot more. Now, I'm assuming, anyway, I'm hoping you're going to answer yes to this. You got to meet Rob Halford, right?
Yeah, and you know what? Rob was like the sweetest guy. Like, and he came into our dressing room, which, you know, when like headliners don't often do that. They don't come to your dressing room. And secondly, they don't often know each of your names. And somehow Halford, he must have gone on Wikipedia or something. And he walked up to me and says, "Hey, Kurt."
Oh.
You know, like, no one does that. Not like headliners are usually like annoyed when you go talk to them.
And they don't Halford care.
They don't care, yeah. Halford knew about us. He read the story. He knew a little bit about us and actually cared. And that blew me away. And he was just this metal god, of course, and the nicest guy.
That's very cool. For him to say your name, though, it must have felt amazing. He knows my name. I'm not worthy type thing, you know? That's very cool. But a good guy in general, though.
Oh, I just think the sweetest guy. And yeah, you don't, there's not many like that. Like, it's, he's actually, he's truly humble, you know? And a few months prior, we had just toured with Def Leppard, and that was our first taste of playing arenas, you know, and then Judas Priest was the second.
Yeah.
And he knew that, and he said, yeah, the Def Leppard guys. And he talked about how when both bands were sort of coming up, like Judas Priest was bigger at first, and he had Def Leppard open for them, and they were a bunch of nice lads, as he said. And then next thing you know, they blew up with, you know, Pyromania or whichever album blew up first. No, sorry, Hysteria. And then next thing he knew, that Def Leppard's way bigger than Judas Priest. And he was just like, what he said, he's like, oh, good on you, boys. You know, and so that takes a lot of humility to be like, to all of a sudden be smaller than the band that was just opening for you, but being supportive of it. He was just super happy for them.
That's very cool. Yeah, you don't see that very often, do you? A band like that, too, or somebody like Rob Helford that's been through this for so long, been doing this for so long. He's paid his dues, you know, year after year after year. He's had his highs, he's had his lows.
Well, you know, it's a good point. I mean, I think if you're in a rock band, like rock and roll definitely has its ups and downs, and it's not usually the biggest genre out there, right? Like right now, even look at rock and roll compared to pop or hip-hop.
I know.
Like, you know, it's so you have to be prepared to ride those waves. And like Neil Young always said, like some tours he'd be in clubs, some tours he'd be in arenas,
mm-hmm.
and then some tours he'd go back to like smaller venues. You know, it's like, and of course that's Neil Young. I mean, it's what a legend, right? And he understands that you can't always try to be competing with like the Katy Perrys of the world, because that's not what rock and roll's for. It's meant to be a bit of a rebellious art form.
That's very true. That's a valid point for sure, man, for sure. Now, you have a backup plan here, obviously. I understand you're also a lawyer and a partner in your firm?
That's right, yeah. And, yeah, it's interesting. It's not a backup plan. It's kind of like, it's been, I feel super lucky. I've got two careers that I love and I'm passionate about. And so on the lawyer side, I'm not a typical lawyer. I'm an entertainment lawyer. So I work in the music biz and represent artists and managers and record labels. And I just feel really effing lucky because I've got two careers that, like, I seriously wake up every morning and I'm super excited to do both.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of people don't have one, right? So I'm super grateful for that.
You should be. You should be, because that's what life is all about, ideally. You find those jobs or job, right, that you can actually wake up in the morning and feel good about going to. You're not, oh, man, I have to go do that again. So that's an amazing thing, man. You're also president of Sask Music.
Yeah, Sask Music is a great organization, you know, just represent or, like, builds and fosters all the music industry and the musicians in Saskatchewan. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just cool. I mean, I feel like with all the years of experience I've had playing in a band, it's like, and being in the industry, the least I could do is give something back to up-and-coming artists, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So when did you start actually playing music then?
It's interesting, you know, and that's a good question. Like, I didn't pick up the drumsticks until grade 12.
Oh, really?
And, you know, and most musicians you meet say, yeah, I started when I was like 5 or 6 years old or whatever. That wasn't me. I was a late bloomer. And when I first started playing music in grade 12, I sucked. You know, it wasn't like I just started and I was great. It's like at first, you know, I just had so much passion for it. I thought I was good, but I wasn't, you know. And but that's the beauty of rock and roll, like, because that changed my life. Once I was this awkward, you know, sort of antisocial kid, once I found rock and roll, I found myself. And so I didn't care that I wasn't any good. I just kept at it and kept at it. And a couple of years in, I was getting better. And then 5 years in, I was getting really good. And then, you know, you add 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden you've got some skills in your pocket, you know. But so I think it's just a lesson to anyone out there listening. It's like, it's never too late to, like, chase a dream or pursue a hobby that you're passionate about, you know.
It's not, man, especially music. I'm in the same boat, actually. Always loved music. Always wished I had picked up a guitar or something way earlier. Bought a bass a few years ago. Never really, learned all that well. But the wife went out and bought me a piano, an electric piano. So I've been, you know, just learning slowly but surely. But I'm getting there.
Right.
And, I'm not young anymore. But, it's never too late to get into music or anything for that matter. If you have a passion for something, you want to do it, hey, dive in there and do it, right?
Well, life's too short, and
yeah.
I think there's so many things out there to do, like that are music or different passions. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's like, yeah, you're right. Life's too short, and you go out and do it.
There's no time for regrets. Ain't nobody got time for that. No.
Yeah.
So you're busy. You're a musician with one bad son. You're also a lawyer, and you have two kids.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing right there. That's what I do it all for. So, yeah, I'm super lucky. You know, there was a time in my life when I never thought I wanted to have kids, and then, you know, and I met my wife, and that was it. Boom, I was like, let's do it. And it's by far the most rewarding thing, the thing I'm most proud of. You know, is like I've got a 1-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son, and that's what I work so hard for. It's really, yeah. You know.
So they're still young, having a lot of fun, I bet you, keeping you busy.
Yeah, and the coolest thing is they both love rock and roll, which maybe you'd predict, but you never know. Like, you know, especially my 3-year-old, because he's really into rock and roll. And sometimes I worry, like, what's the state of rock and roll? Like, you know, where's it going to be in 15, 20 years? And then AC/DC comes on, and my son just runs around the house yelling the lyrics and playing air guitar. And, like, AC/DC, Metallica, and One Bad Son are his two favorite bands. So I feel like... I feel like rock and roll is in good hands when I see young, and it's everyone's young kids. They love rock and roll. So to me, that's like, it gives me a bit, it helps me sleep at night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's in his genes. It's in his blood. It's got to be, man. It's got to be. There's nothing not to love about rock, though. And a kid is innocent, you know, and they pick up on the goodness. They're like, you know what? That's a good tune. Crank up that AC/DC, Dad. You can't go wrong, right?
Yeah, it's
subjection.
The best thing to see.
Subjection, yeah. Too, of course, you know, subject them when they're younger, and ideally they might get into it a little more, but kids like what they like anyway. That's the way it was. I was always a rocker as a little kid. I bet you were too. That's kind of what you liked, you know? Now crank that up. That sounds awesome.
My dad is a big Led Zeppelin fan, and you're right. It's sort of, I think kids are way smarter than we know.
Oh, you're right about that.
We give them credit for, you know, and it's like I knew at that age, and Levon knows at this age that, like, this music's better than the other pop crap, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You said it right. You can say that. This is a rock station, not a pop station. No, no, no. No pop around here, let me tell you. So I bet you're excited. You got to be excited for this weekend. You're opening for the Rolling Stones this Saturday at Burrell's Creek. How awesome is that?
Yeah, it's, you know, when we got the phone call, because these things, you know, you never are able to plan these things in advance. You know, like, we just got a phone call one morning, and it's like, hey, are your schedules open on this date? And I said, yeah, for what? Rolling Stones, opening slot. And I said, what? You know, it's just like almost dropping the phone.
Well, yeah.
Thing.
Who's prank calling me?
Yeah, who is this?
I don't like your jokes right now, buddy. You better be serious.
quit calling me, Dad.
Yeah, good joke.
But yeah, I mean, Stones, not only did I grow up listening to them, like, I still, like, you know, five of their best albums are in my regular record rotation, like, every week. Like, the Stones are, some of those records just completely changed my life. And when it comes to rock and roll, I mean, that's pretty much the top of the mountain as far as, like, opening slots, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll get to meet, you know, Mick or Keith or Charlie, because, you know, in getting some of the show advance emails, it's like security is going to be tight, and you know, you can't just be hanging out backstage waiting for Keith, but you never know. Like, so I'm not going to get my hopes too high that I'm going to get meet them and become best friends with them. But if I do get a chance to meet them, that'd be a life-changing event. It'd be a bucket list item. Bottom line is we're opening for them, and the crowd's going to be the biggest concert in the country this year. And I'm just going to try to soak it all in, because it's going to be one of those days that goes by like in a flash.
It'll be a blur. Hopefully, if you get to meet anyone, it'll be Mick, because Charlie never says much. He's the shy guy. Keith, you won't understand anyway. He'll be rambling about something. I was told, go to meet you, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen them yet? Have you seen them live ever?
Yeah, I saw them. They played Regina, like, this must be like at least a decade ago now. And that's the thing that still impresses me, is like somehow they've always stayed cool all through the years. I mean, maybe a few little dips here and there, like maybe in the 80s, but
yeah, well,
most people weren't cool in the 80s, but you know, like they still, like, it never lost that cool factor, right? Like, there's, and it's because their live show has always been killer.
Mm-hmm.
and they put out, you know, they put records, and you know, even on the new records, like, it's always one killer song, and that's like, I'm impressed with that, you know. And yeah, somehow it's just they've broken the mold in terms of what it means to be a rock band, because you're not supposed to last as long as they have.
No.
And you're not supposed to stay relevant, and then somehow they have.
They have, so, I know.
Yeah, I know. It's an honor.
It's mind-blowing, to be honest with you, at their age, and they're still rocking hard. They're up there like they're in their 20s, literally. They're going that hard. I saw them back in 89 in Toronto at the Sky Dome for the Steel Wheels Tour. And, of course, everybody, you know, every back then, they were in their 40s back then, and everyone was calling it the Steel Wheelchairs Tour. And that was the big joke, you know. It's like, here we are. How many years later? That was 1989. They're still at it touring. Yeah. Nobody's saying that now. Nobody's saying anything like that now.
They were just getting started.
Literally. They were just getting started. They've been at it for years, but no, they were just getting started. I know. It's a mind-blowing thing, like I said. It makes you wonder how they maintain this. But you know, here it is right here. They put out amazing music. I don't think there's a bad Rolling Stones tune. I don't think there's a bad album. There's some pretty bad album covers, but I don't think there's any bad Stones tunes, per se, anyway, right? I don't think. But I'm a big fan. I've always loved the Stones, and I think that's a hell of a privilege for you to be able to open for these guys, man. I wouldn't be sleeping for, like, the week straight up to it, I'm pretty sure. Oh, my God, I got to open for the Stones. Yeah. Very exciting, man.
Yeah, I've been re-listening to so many of their albums, and, yeah, it's one of those things where you really just, you know, you really feel great. And I try to think back. Anytime we have these great events happen to us, I think back. To go back to how the conversation started, I think back to over the years, sort of the years of struggle, and that's kind of, it gives me that perspective, which I just love. It makes my arm hairs stand up to think of how, you know, where we started and how hard it was in the early days, and to get to here now, you know, it's a really good exercise in gratitude.
You're damn right, man. Listen, like, honestly here, be proud of that, as you are, I know. You paid your dues, like I said earlier. You worked your way up, and you're kicking some serious ass right now, man. Keep it up. That's all you can do. As you said earlier, you know, rock and roll has its highs and its lows, of course, and you got to ride the wave. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
What are they expecting for attendance at Burrells Creek this weekend? Any idea?
You know, that's a good question. Like, someone told me 80,000, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, capacity, I've been hearing a number of things. I heard capacity was like 70,000. Then I looked it up. Capacity is like 100,000, I guess, depending on the venue, where the stage is set up, you know, things like that. But and there's still tickets left, so I don't know how many tickets were actually sold. But regardless, you're going to be playing in front of a lot of people. Does that make you nervous at all, or does it make you kind of even more excited?
No, yeah, more excited. I don't get nervous anymore. I mean, I just get excited, you know, and then I get, you know, you start to just start bouncing off the walls while you're getting ready for the show because you just want it to start, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like that anticipation. So it's, which I guess maybe it's not nervousness. It's just like you feel a bit anxious to get going, you know?
Yeah, that's.
But, you know, it's pure excitement is what it is. And it's like, yeah. Now that I think it is. I bet you're right. I bet it's going to be around 80, 90,000. So
it's incredible.
That's kind of stuff I'll tell my kids about when I'm old and frail and I open for the Rolling Stones.
Back,
you know,
in my day. That's history, man. That's history. And then, of course, this Monday, Canada Day, you're going to be in Sudbury. We're so excited for this, playing at Science North, doing a free show, which is also very cool of you guys. What can we expect with that?
Well, yeah, and we haven't played, I don't know if we played Sudbury ever. I mean, we've been there many times, driven through many times. I don't know if we've actually played there. I mean, you might know more than I do, but I don't think we have. But we get messages all the time saying, can you come here? And so this show came up, and we jumped on it. And, yeah, I mean, for a frame of reference, like the Rolling Stones set we have is 45 minutes, but the Sudbury show is 90. So we're doing, like, we're giving you a good show. And we're playing, yeah, it's like, if you like live rock and roll with lots of energy and lots of heart, I mean, come out to the show. And it's cool doing free shows because, yeah, everyone can show up, and it doesn't matter if, you know, where your social standing is. Everyone comes out and has a good time. And, yeah, it's going to be something special, especially, you know, Canada Day, too. It's like,
yeah,
we're huge fans of our country. So it'll be great.
That's very awesome, man. We appreciate you coming out here. I can't wait. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be down there for Canada Day watching you guys rock out. And I would expect a couple stories about Saturday, if you don't mind.
Okay, it's a deal.
Sounds good, man. All right, we'll let you go for now. I appreciate you talking to us today.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Have an amazing weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Okay, sounds great, Sean.